I could talk to the animals. Just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk to the animals.
Hello, everyone. This is Jacques Schiller, alias Jacques Doolittle, with Pet Chat. You're listening to 1180 WFYL. And today is National Clear the Shelter Day. Clear the Shelter Day. So appropriately, we have a shelter manager today, Brandy Green from Kitty Cottage, which is a shelter. And we'll get to her in just a moment. But appropriately on National Clear the Shelter Day, wanted to just talk to you a bit about my company, Soap and Bean Pet Care. And if you haven't heard of Soap and Bean Pet Care, we are in the King of Prussia area, and we do the surrounding, 10, 12 miles around. We do the main line. So we'll go down to Collegeville and not quite down to Pottstown, but we'll do Collegeville. We'll do Phoenixville. We'll go over to Conshohocken. We'll go up anywhere on the main line and cover pet needs for the day, for a week. We do overnights. We're bonded, licensed, and insured. So you know you're getting someone who is responsible and credited. So that's Soap and Bean Pet Care. If you also want to share in this show that we're doing on a Saturday at 12:05, you could give us a call and ask a question. You can make comments. We'd love to have guests, future guests. So anything like that, you can call us at 610-783-6394. And you can email us at info@1180WFYL. Okay, let's get on with the show. We have Brandy Green of Kitty College. Hello, Brandy.
Hello, Jacques. How are you?
I'm well, and thanks for coming. Tell us a little bit about Kitty College.
So Kitty Cottage Adoption Center is a cage-free, no-kill animal shelter located in East Norton. We've been open since about 2002, and we take in animals from other shelters and also people that need to, you know, give up their animal for a particular reason.
Now, why would you pick up other shelter animals? Have they reached like a time limit or something?
Yes. Most of the time we have good relationships with the county shelters. And if there's an animal or a cat that would fit our criteria, being cage free, you know, if they're at the end of their time, they will try to reach out to the other shelters. And then we can, if we have the space, we can go and pick them up.
Okay. So what's cage free? I mean, you got to keep them somewhere, right?
We do. So we're a 3-floor house. And on each floor we have cats in certain rooms.
Okay.
So
cat rooms.
Cat rooms. Yes. We are the cat house.
Oh. <Ta-ding>. Okay. And where do you keep your dogs?
We don't have dogs. We're cats only right now.
Oh, consequently, Kitty Cottage.
Yes.
How dumb am I? Okay. So what's your criteria for keeping certain cats in certain rooms?
So typically we go with by their personality. As you know, probably know, cats are a little bit of a chess match. It's never quite as simple as a dog. So we put them into a transition room with other cats that are, you know, fairly mellow, laid back, and then we go from there. If there are issues, then we move them around.
Now, would you put kittens all together with other kittens as opposed to with older cats?
Correct. We keep the kittens by themselves, usually on the first floor, till they're about 5-6 months. We have up to 15-year-old cats, and They don't want to be bothered by the babies.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have a 22-year-old cat. That's
wonderful.
That's Soph of Soph and Bean. She's Sophie. Yeah. And a couple of weeks back, we gave her a grooming on the air. In fact, we brought in a groomer and had the first cat grooming on the radio. And she meowed a little bit, but she got through it and is loving herself now. You know, when you're 22, you can't bend like you used to. I don't know what your, you have one 15-year-old cat or a couple of them?
Yeah, we have two.
Okay. And are they mobile?
They are. Not happy about it, but yes, they are mobile. They kind of keep to themselves. We have one that absolutely loves children. Go figure.
Right. So when you bring people in, you take them from room to room to show them the wares, basically?
Yes. We really try to pride ourselves on getting the most information before we go around so we can fit the cat with the person, you know, with the family that it's going to.
Right.
So we ask a lot of questions. We, you know, try to show them ones that we think would fit in their family and their criteria that they want.
Got it. Now, your business has a no-kill policy.
Correct.
So, are some of these cats coming from other shelters because they hit their time criteria and you're taking them in so they're not euthanized?
Correct. And so they can have, you know, a second chance, basically.
Sure, sure. So you'll just keep them forever?
So because we are the no-kill, yes. Every animal that comes into us has a home.
Correct.
If they're not adopted, we will, you know, keep them.
They're yours.
Yes, until it's, you know, obviously medically necessary.
Sure, like they're...
If they're very ill.
Very old or
yes.
Ill. Okay. Now, how many do you have?
Right now we have 38 cats. We just had a few adopted. Usually our numbers are a little bit higher, but we've had some attitudes in some kitties. So we're...
No, stop that.
Exactly. No, they just don't want to be with other kitties.
Right. What's the average stay before someone's adopted or a cat's adopted?
It's much easier with the kittens. You know, everybody wants the little babies.
Sure.
So they go into foster when they get them to be completely vaccinated before they come into us. And then, you know, most kittens stay maybe a month, 2 months. When we do have the older cats, it could be years.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's sort of get off the subject of your kitty cottage for a second. And mm-hmm. why don't you tell us a little bit about what today is, the National Clear the Shelter Day. What's that all about?
So Clear the Shelters is a it's supported and in Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, where most of the county shelters are offering adoptions for no cost. That you can come in, pick an animal, and there are no costs or adoption fees.
Okay. So the only thing that they pick up is their license fee?
Correct. If it's a dog and if there was anything that they needed to get taken care of as far as veterinary-wise. But at the shelters, most of the ones on there are completely free.
Right. So yours being cats only... is a little bit different than the, I guess, the shelters that have dogs and cats.
Yes.
And people come in for whatever type of pet. Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever, you know, on a temporary basis for like emergencies, bring in another pet other than a cat?
Most of the time, if we have, I know personally I've rescued birds and all of wildlife. You know, we usually will find them a foster. I mean, it would be too crazy in the shelter if they had a dog.
Or a bird with 38 cats, 39 cats.
It would be a snack. It wouldn't be very good for the bird.
Yes, but just think of the cat.
Yes, it would be entertainment.
I have another cat, and she's six. She's Jilly Bean. That's the bean of Soph and Bean. One time, we have another place down in Lewis, Delaware, a condominium down there. And it's on the first floor, so we have a patio and we leave the door ajar so the two cats can go out in the bushes. Mm-hmm. Sophie was an outside cat all her life, originally from Minnesota, and she would bring in little treats in the middle of the night. She had a little doggy door, cat door, whatever, and she'd bring in a little heart or kidney or whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
I learned from one of my guests what that's all about. I just thought she, because we were the mom and dad, that she'd be bringing in the best of the food for her parents.
Sure.
But apparently, it's not. This person that I interviewed said it's because they don't think we could hunt. So they have to bring food to us.
I've never heard that. It makes sense.
It does make sense, but I would have never, ever in my life thought about that. So anyway, Jilly Bean's out, and I don't know how she did it, but I guess birds nest in bushes as well as trees. So she found a little baby bird, and she brought it in her mouth. She didn't hurt it. She, you know how I think they just bring them in or wherever they take them to play with them at first. Maybe they play with them before they kill them. I don't know. But she was playing with this bird.
Aww.
And I had to sort of shock her by just spouting off loudly to get her attention. I said, "Jilly Bean." And she dropped the bird. So I grabbed it and took it out and left her inside so she couldn't see where I was taking this bird. And I didn't know where the nest was, so I don't know if she found her mom. But I put her in a bush that was out of the way and out of my cat's sight.
Yes.
And I kept Jilly Bean in for a couple hours after that, so she wouldn't go back out looking for it. She probably did look for it, but I don't think she found it.
That's good.
So I think that would be the same thing if you brought in a bird in there.
Yes.
You'd have to find a cage for it separate.
Yes.
Okay. What is this program you have? It's called Pause for Reading program. What is that all about?
So Pause for Reading is a new program that we're starting at the shelter. It's been shown that children and animals can actually benefit from sitting down in a quiet setting and reading to each other. Well, to the cats.
Jilly Bean, could you turn the page and read the line 7?
They will try. They, you know, we have found it was all started. My daughter, Cassidy, was having issues with reading.
Right.
And I found when she would read her books to my pets at home without me constantly telling her what the word is, she was actually reading better. And
cool.
Some other shelters started it, and we've just kind of piggybacked on that. So the kids can come in. Obviously, they have to be accompanied by a parent.
Sure.
And they can pick a floor or pick a particular cat. A lot of kids like to pick their books from home, you know, special ones that they want to read to them. And then we do have some books in the shelter. Obviously, we're trying to make this bigger, maybe get some authors, you know, children's book authors, and, you know, just really, for one, help the kids with their reading skills.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
In a quiet area. And two, some children have never been exposed to cats in a positive way. So they can come into the shelter and see the cats roaming around. They can sit on the floor, have the cats up on their lap, look like they're reading.
Sure. Now, would you find that children look for books that are about cats or about animals just because of the environment that they're in when they're reading to a cat?
They do. Sometimes it's, you know, it's just what they want to read. But most people that come in, you know, the little girls, it's always princess books. And, you know, it's typically about the animals instead
sure.
of, you know, something else.
And they're not as nervous reading to a cat that they would reading to a parent or a teacher. And so maybe that's why it's easier for them to read.
I think so, because I know myself, I am always correcting my child when we're reading. So this way the animals just sit there and purr and meow, and they're not correcting them.
And I guess they would just pass over words that they mm-hmm. they don't get. And, but they get the gist of it.
Of the story. It's a very comfortable situation.
And I bet, I remember my son, when we were teaching him to read, sometime he would just talk a story based on the picture that he's looking at, as well as, you know, thumbing through the words of the story.
Yes, correct. A lot of times that just helps. They're still looking at the books. They're mm-hmm. getting into the books. That's the biggest battle, I think, of some of the reading challenges.
No, absolutely. So one thing, you're not dealing with rabbits or anything, but I've heard a lot of times that people in shelters and other places where folks would go to find pets, that it's not a good idea to give away pets as gifts, like rabbits during Easter is the biggest thing. And what happens after Easter is a couple, 3 weeks after Easter, you find rabbits all over the place because people, you know, they don't know how to handle them. They put them in the backyard. They think they're out in the wild, and they'll tend for themselves or put them in the bush or take them in their car and take them out into the woods or something. So it's not a good deal. And I bet it's similar with cats.
It really is. You know, the biggest time that we hear that is obviously around the holidays. You know, adopting an animal is a lifelong decision.
Sure.
And the thing that we find is that, you know, they'll get it for a parent, or, you know, they feel that somebody needs an animal in their life, you know, the joy of being with an animal.
Sure.
And, you know, the unfortunate thing is it might not suit, you know, their lifestyle. Like a person who, you know, is always out 12 hours a day mm-hmm. would not do well with a 4-month-old kitten. You'd come home to your curtain shred and, you know, all of that. The hardest thing is the person knowing. You know, with the bunnies and stuff like that, usually it's the kids that are getting the parents. Now, most of the time, it's the same way, the kids getting their parents a cat. But the person receiving the gift may not want the responsibility of a pet.
Or not knowing how to take care of the pet, besides the lack of interest. Mm-hmm. And so when you neglect an animal, it's terrible because they need basically 24/7. They're as needy as a child.
They are. They definitely are. And, you know, that's why we pride ourselves on really finding the best fit for the owner and the home that they're going into.
Absolutely. I have, as part of Soap and Bean Pet Care, I have dogs and I take care of cats. And cats are a little bit easier. You don't have to take them out and you don't mm-hmm. have to walk them. You have to make sure their water is fresh and they get their little crunchies or soft food if that's part of their diet. Mm-hmm. But I have this one cat. It's a minx.
Okay.
Do you have any minxes or
we
have
don't.
You had?
We don't.
Have you over periods of time?
Not in the shelter that I know of, but we do get, you know, breeded animals in occasionally.
Right.
Mostly Siamese, you know, some ragdolls, some Persians, but never a minx.
Now, this minx is called timpani, you know, like the drum. Choo-ching.
Yes.
And no tail. That's the, I guess, the
typical minx. Yeah.
Typical minx has no tail. And other than that, just looks like a regular cat, a little bit smaller than your standard cat. And this is a couple years old, but still almost the size of a kitten.
Oh.
And cute as a button and loves caves. So what I typically do, so all you out there that want to have me take care of your cats, remember, you're going to get a gift at the end of the stay. I take a box, I cut a sort of a horseshoe shape so the cat could go into the cave. I call it a kitty condo. And always leave a kitty condo and write the name of the cat, like Timpani's condo. And put a little blanket down or, you know, a little towel or something, so when they go in, they have something soft to lay on. And it's a fun thing to do. Anyway, so what's an interesting cat that you've had there that you could talk about?
We have quite a few interesting cats. We have one. His name's Gabriel. He is definitely some sort of purebred mixed cat. He is a big talker.
Doesn't play the horn, does he?
No, but he sounds like it. He's literally, if I can make the noise, it's meow, meow, like, and it's loud.
Right. Like a Siamese. Siamese will...
Yes.
Julie Bean on the spot. She is a co-rat. A co-rat is an offshoot, I guess, of a Siamese. Mm-hmm. She looks very similar to a Siamese. And she's always walking around going, meow. It's like
they're the talkers of the animal world.
They
love to talk. And Gabriel is just a handsome boy. He's about 7 years old, but he acts like he's, you know, two or three.
Right. Likes attention.
He does. He loves attention. He sounds like he's screaming at you for attention, and we have conversations because he cracks me up.
Now, another sign of a co-rat is, supposedly, they're the only cats that fetch. So I will throw her little baby. It's Peppy Le Pew. It's a skunk without legs, you know, one of those things. It's mostly tail. And we'll throw it, and she'll pick it up, put it in her mouth, drop it at my feet, and want me to throw it again. And sometime during the day or during the evening, we'll hear Jelly Bean go, a little bit different, almost like I'm eating food. You know, I've caught a prey.
Mm-hmm.
And when she carries around Peppy, she'll... And so we know she's got Peppy.
That's great. They like to announce it.
They do. They do. So we're got a couple minutes here. What about another cat?
Another one we have in the shelter is Tuck. She's...
What was it?
Tuck.
Tuck?
With a T.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right. She's had a little sad story. She came in with her sister about 2 years ago, and her sister was, I guess, very ill when she came in. And her sister had passed away, and she dropped all this weight. And we did a lot of work with her. We found out that she loves chicken. She ate my lunch quite a few times, unwelcomed, my grilled chicken. So she is a sweetheart. She picks one person, and that's pretty much who she
bonds to.
Right. She's not one that will bond to everybody.
Right.
But, you know, she's looking for a home with a very quiet home with one person that can just love her constantly.
Sure. Well, that's cool. Well, we'll talk some more about some of the other cats and a little bit about your history and all in a little bit. And I just wanted to remind everybody, if you want to call in to the show, 610-783-6394 will get you there. And info@1180wfyl.com will get you in as an email. Questions, suggestions for guests, if you'd like to be a guest, etc., please feel free. So we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and... we'll do some more with Brandy Green of Kitty Cottage.
Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk to the animals. Learn all them.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong, and wrong is right. Good is evil, and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk to the animals.
Welcome back. This is Jacques Doolittle, and this is Pet Chat. AM 1180 WFYL. So thanks for joining us. We're talking to Brandy Green of Kitty Cottage, and we'll get back to her in just 1 second, but I wanted to say one more time, if you want to ask any questions, you want to call in 610-783-6394, please do, or go ahead and send an email to info@1180wfyl.com, and we will answer your questions on the air and take your suggestions. If you know anyone who would be a great guest for us, we're always open for that. And that's about that. Now, remember, if you need pet care, consider Soap and Bean Pet Care. We are at www.soph-bean, so Soap and Bean, those are my two cats, Sophie and Jelly Bean, soapandbeanpetcare.com. And you'll see our website and here, look at our pricing, and we have great blogs that my wife has put together from the dog and cat's perspectives, some great photographs and pictures. So anyway, that's about Soap and Bean. So back to about Brandy Green of Kitty Cottage. Hi, Brandy.
Hello, Jacques. How are you?
Good. So when you're bringing in the cats, what do the cats need? What do you need to do before you could send them out the door with their new owners?
So all of the cats that come into us, depending on their age, are spayed and neutered. We do a lot more with the kittens. They need to get at least 3 vaccines of distemper and their rabies vaccine, the spay and neuter. All pets in our care are microchipped, and they receive monthly flea preventative and intestinal parasite preventatives.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the microchip. I get all my pets from SPCA, and mm-hmm. I got Jelly Bean down in Delaware at, the SPCA in Georgetown, mm-hmm. and they chipped her. Mm-hmm. Now, explain to me what that means. I always thought if she got lost, I'd be able to find her by calling the SPCA and telling what cat I adopted there, and it was chipped, and they'd be able to find her. But that's not so, right?
Correct. That would be a wonderful dream to have a GPS in them, because then we could find them if they were ever lost. But currently, the microchips, they are very small little diodes, basically, that are inserted into the animal skin, usually above their neck. And what that does is shelters, veterinarians, you know, a lot of places that would come into contact with lost pets have a universal scanner. There are quite a few companies out there. You know, it's basically on who you want to deal with your microchip company. If your pet's lost, you will typically call the microchip company and, you know, give them your information. And then what happens is they put an alert on that. So if it does show up in a veterinary office or another shelter, they would scan that microchip and then it would come up with a number. And those numbers are linked to the person's name and information.
Okay. All right. So is something with a GPS, a microchip with a GPS in the works, or is it just...
Not that I've heard of.
It would be too big?
I think it would be too big, and it would actually be too cost prohibitive for most, you know, owners and at least shelters to be able to pay for.
Right. So you do the chipping as part of your cost, or the cost that incurred by the person that's picking up the cat pays for chipping as well?
No. Our adoption fee includes all of that.
All right. And so what is your adoption fee?
So the adoption fee is $125 for kittens under the age of a year. Any cat from 1 to 7 is $100, and any cat over the age of 8 is $50.
Okay. Now, where would someone see these cats? You have a website?
We do. The website is kittycottage.org, kittycottage.org.
And what do you have on your website?
We have all of our adoptable cats in there. You can search by male, female. We do put up there if they're swinging singles, if they need to be only children or divas. They're listed under our swinging single page. We also have any upcoming events, any news that we have going on. We have information about paws for reading. We have a little emporium at our shelter where, you know, we sell some handmade gifts for humans and for their pets.
So you have a catalog.
A catalog, yes. It's a catalog.
Thank you, Russ. I stole that idea from our producer and director. He came up with that, but I thought it was very cute, so I stole it. Anyway, what about volunteers? Any needs there?
We always need volunteers. We are almost 90% based on volunteers to run and staff our shelter. We need people. We're there 7 days a week, you know, holidays, weekends, just like your own pets. They need the care, too. So we always need people to come and help us in the mornings from about 9 to 11. That's when we do our major cleaning in the shelter.
Sure.
We also need people in the afternoons. We need it for various things. Obviously, cleaning is our biggest need. Scooping litter boxes, socialization. We also need people that are, you know, crafty and can make things to donate to the shelter or... you know, you have an expertise.
Like Kitty Kondos.
Yes, Kitty Kondos. Yes, they are wonderful.
You'll have to call me up and I'll create Kitty Kondos for you.
Kitty Cottage Kitty Kondos.
That's right, Kitty Cottage Kondos.
Kondos, there we go.
That's it. Now, do you need overnight volunteers? Or
Not typically. We don't have anybody staying there with the kitties. We just don't have the space.
Sure.
But now, we do need to go in, you know, to do medications.
Now, at night, since are not cats nocturnal?
Sometimes.
That most I've witnessed from any time I get up in the middle of the night, sometimes my cats are tussling with each other. How's that, tussling?
We come in sometimes to a mess. They have parties in their little
That's
boxes.
That's right. Because they're up at night, mm-hmm. and they're out there playing around and jumping and attacking each other and having a grand old time.
Yes.
So, but you don't need any volunteers at night. Okay.
No, not at this point. Yet.
Now, you find a lot of your volunteers from college kids, or do you take them from high school, or what's your age criteria?
We do take kids from high school. Our liability company requires anybody under the age of 18 to be with a parent. You know, usually at 17, if the parent signs off, you know, they're fine to come in. We do a lot of, you know, community service hours for schools, for internships, legally. So we get them that way. We also go to events at, you know, pet stores or big pet events and try to recruit some loving, caring people that want to take care of cats.
Events. That's exactly what I was going to segue into. So what kind of events do you have?
Typically, we have usually a few events a year. Right now, during the summer, we call it a mini yard sale. You can check our website or our Facebook page for the exact date. We are right in the shelter in the driveway. We have handmade items. We also have sometimes some cleaning items and stuff like that for sale. We will also do maybe a gala. We'll do monthly events sometimes just to get our kitties adopted. We work a lot with Best Friends Animal Sanctuary and do a lot of the same promotions that they do.
Are most of your events on site?
Most of them are on site, yes.
Okay, and where is on site?
On site is 317 West Johnson Highway, and that's East Norton. It's in between 202 and DeKalb Street.
Okay, so you are East Norton. I'm from California, and I've been here since 04, and I still can't figure out when somebody says, well, they're in Norristown, or they're in East Norton, or they're in King of Prussia, or they're in West Norton. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? What are these things?
It's basically just their lines, little townships, basically. We're right near the Elmwood Park Zoo, so that's a good landmark.
I know where
us.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we all do.
Yeah. I've had chamber events over there.
Fabulous.
They have right behind the eagle display. And I don't understand that because these eagles don't go anywhere.
No.
They don't have tethers or anything. They just have their trees and they fly up and they come back down, and they must know that spot because that's where the food
the
is.
The food, yes.
So, but right behind that, there's a big building, and they have events in there. So, so most of your events are on site.
Yep. On or if we're invited, like they have big events there, you know, usually put on by state representatives or anything like that, we will go and talk about the shelter and, you know, just the importance of animals.
Now, other than your website, where else do you advertise?
Right now, it's obviously we have a Facebook page.
Okay.
You can research Kitty Cottage Adoption Center. The other places that we advertise now are when we go to our events. We're a very small shelter, operating on a shoestring budget, so we'd like to grow.
Right. 3 years old. So you're
13.
Yep. Oh, 13. Yep. You've been there three.
Yes, I've been there three.
Okay. All right. And you're the shelter manager. And why don't you tell me a little bit about you? Where are you from? Tell me a little bit about your history.
I'm from outside of Reading, Pennsylvania. I knew from an early age I wanted to deal with animals. I actually went in the Navy for 4 years and started working at a shelter down in Virginia, where I was stationed.
They still call women in the Navy WACs?
No. You could be, I guess.
No, because I'm an old guy.
Yes. I didn't mean that.
But, no.
I got to do a lot of my traveling and, you know, my growing up when I was in the military. I did an operations specialist. It's the dark room that you see on the movies. I knew when I started working at the shelter that I wanted to get into veterinary medicine. So when I got out, I started working at a very small animal hospital up where I was from. And my love grew more for emergency medicine. I just like emergency. I don't know what it is.
It's so you became a veterinary nurse?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And did the emergency for about 12 years, and then had my daughter and went into a more normal schedule of a job, because emergency, you're there all night, all day, you know, whatever.
Sure, yeah, no, because it's a veterinary emergency center is hospitals, et cetera, they're 24 hours, right?
Correct, 24/7.
Because you don't know when somebody's cat's going to get injured and they need help.
Correct, and, you know, most of the time they have cases that require monitoring throughout the night. So, yeah, then I had my daughter and I went into smaller vaccine normal practices and actually did pet sitting, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And
I understand that. Yes. That's what I am.
Exactly. I was happy to hear that that's what you did because I really did enjoy pet sitting, the people, the animals. It was great. You actually get attached to them.
I'm going to tell you a funny story about Sophie, who's my 22-year-old, and how it relates to a veterinary hospital emergency care. One day I lived in Texas for 7 years and just outside of Dallas, a place called Richardson, and had a pool in the backyard with a wooden deck around the pool and a big wooden fence. Well, Sophie would go underneath the wooden fence and she'd scurry about the neighborhood, and we had an alley behind us. Well, apparently one night she went into the alley and got run over by a vehicle. Don't know if it's a truck, a car, whatever it was. We didn't know this. She just disappeared. So we went around the neighbors telling everybody, look out for Sophie. We called the vet hospitals. We did shelters everywhere. No word about where Sophie was. About 3 days later, our pool guy heard meowing underneath the wooden deck and went over to the next door neighbor, because I was at work, my wife's at work, and next door neighbor came over and saw that it was Sophie but couldn't get to her. So he got his chainsaw and he cut open my deck, area big enough to pull Sophie out. They took her to the veterinary hospital, and the vet called me. Now, he said, I have your cat. Do you want me to put her down? And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, she's all broken up. And I said, well, can you fix her? He says, well, she's got 4 broken paws. Her back is broken. Her jaw is broken. And it'd be very expensive. I said, I don't care. So $7,000 later, she came home with 4 casts, one on each paw. She had no hair on the back. She had 38 stitches. They put a rod or something. You'd probably know more about that, what they put in her. But anyway, and her jaw was wired. For 3 months, we had to feed her about 7 or 8 times a day with an eyedropper, mixing up food and water solution and just dripping it into her mouth. About a week later, she was trying to walk around on her her cast. We called her Franken Kitty because she reminded me of a little Frankenstein's kitty. But anyway, so you're a nurse at a hospital. Did you do operations, or was that the doctor that did that and you assisted? How does that work?
You know, typically in most veterinary hospitals, the licensed veterinarian will be doing the surgery part of it. The technicians and nurses are needed to do the anesthesia, prep the animal, assist in the surgery. It's basically the same as human nursing. Right. You assist the surgeon or the veterinarian.
And you would give the shots or whatever.
It depends on the state and what the requirements are. But most of the time, you know, we will give the vaccines by the doctor's direction, or, you know, certain vets prefer to do it, you know, by themselves. But we're mostly there to assist the veterinarian, do the observations, give medication, you know, the more hands-on stuff with the pets.
Right. Would you do any of the stitching?
It depends, you know, on your level of experiment or experience.
Right. And so now you did it, you said, for 20 years?
Yes.
So you were experienced. So you did stitching, I would imagine.
Yes, we did. We would close up, you know, wounds or, you know, most of the time like I said, depending on your experiments and where experience and where you're at. You know, the bigger hospitals, you need more qualified nurses and technicians.
Sure. Well, do you have any pets?
I have quite a few.
Well, why don't you tell me about your menagerie?
I have, all of them have been rescued. I have Mau Mau. He's the oldest.
Is Mau Mau a cat?
He is. Okay. I'll go through the kitties first.
All right.
My one-year-old daughter named Mau Mau, hence the name.
Mau Mau.
Yes. I found George. Georgie is about a 25-pound chunker of a kitty. He was skin and bones. I found him actually pet sitting in Mount Airy and
overfeeding.
No, he was skinny. He was skin and bones when I found him.
I
tortured him. Yeah. He has urinary issues, so he's on a special food.
Oh, okay.
Which makes them quite chunky.
Okay, gotcha.
Murphy is my two-year-old. He was actually a one-week-old kitten that was brought in that I fostered back to health. And
how old is Murphy?
Murphy's two.
Okay.
And that's my daughter's little one.
That's hers.
My new recent addition, and her name's Bibi. She is a blind and deaf black and white kitty who was living in a cold metal cage, and I fell in love. I actually adopted her from another rescue because I was just so in love with her. And she's amazing. That's the one thing I like about animals is they don't have self-pity. And
sure.
She just runs around the house, sometimes bumping into things.
But I would imagine, how long have you had her first?
I've had her since February.
Okay, so you've been there several months.
Mm-hmm.
Does she sort of know the territory now?
She does.
So she'll take like seven steps and knows the wall's coming?
Yes. I made the mistake of moving something, which I know better, and she walked right into it, poor girl.
Right.
But she's fabulous. She jumps up on, you know, the kitty condos and plays with the other cats. She's just, she's a blessing.
Now, because you have multiple cats, we have those carpeted deals that they can go up and
yes.
jump and stairs and platforms and another platform, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have those things?
Yes. Too many.
Oh, a bunch of them.
Some short ones because they do like to use those for scratching posts.
And, well, the scratch pad at the bottom.
Yeah. You
know? My cat just loves to, after she goes out on the deck to eat, she'll come in and she'll stretch and then she'll go to her scratch pad and she'll want me to come over and scratch her back while she's clawing at the scratch pad.
They definitely train us to what they want us to do.
They do. They do. So what about doggies?
So I have Beasley. Beasley, he's a rescue. He is a puggle. So he's a pug and a beagle mix.
Puggle.
He actually looks more like a beagle because he's more stockier like a beagle, but he's brindle. And he's a character. He really is a sweet dog. He just gets himself in trouble with his nose.
I got to see this guy because I've worked with pugs, and pugs have little short ears and opposite with
the beagles.
With the beagles, they have the long ears. So what does he have?
So he has the longer, they look more like beagle ears, and he's got a longer, more like beagle nose, but he does have the curly tail like the pug and the big eyes.
Yeah, those little pug tails.
Mm-hmm.
I have two pugs that I've taken care of and actually did overnights for, Andy and Baxter. And these two pugs, they couldn't get up on the bed where they slept. So the reason for the overnights, besides they wanted their house watched, I guess,
sure.
I would at night come over at 11 o'clock and leave at 9 o'clock in the morning and do a couple other visits during the day to let them out and water, feed them, and that kind of thing. But at night, I came in 11 o'clock. I had to lift Baxter and Andy up on the bed, and they slept with me overnight, of course. And in the morning, when they have to go out, it's not when I want to wake up. It's 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. They start licking my face. Yeah, come on, get up, get up, get up. And what do you do?
Get up.
Yeah, get up. That's right. So, all right. So you got the one dog?
Yeah, what, just the one dog right now because, I work a lot. So
you do?
I do.
And where do you live?
So I live outside of Reading. Moved back up to my hometown.
So you have quite a jaunt.
I do. I really do.
So that's called dedication.
It is. I love Kitty Cottage. I couldn't imagine being any other place.
Well, we're going to keep you. We're going to keep you at Kitty College as shelter manager. And you're giving us at Kitty Cottage nice advertising on this hour show.
Yes. Yes. It'll be on our Facebook, our website with the hours and, you know, just the whole thing about Pet Chat.
Well, one thing I've neglected to do and I'm going to do as soon as our show ends today, I'm going to get a picture of you and want to do this with all of our guests, get a little snapshot of the host, Jacques Doolittle, and the guest. And
Brandy Green.
That's right. And we'll put those on the 1180 WFYL website. So what else you have at your house?
I have a guinea pig.
A guinea
Sophia.
Pig? Sophia. Oh, Sophia.
Yes, Sophia is the little screaming Mimi, as we call her. She's a huge talker. There's also a few outdoor kitties that we take care of. I just helped rescue a couple of kitties that mom never came back.
So now that I understand outside kitties, mm-hmm. I've told the story when I grew up with my grandparents in North Hollywood, California, my grandparents would put food outside for our four cats, mm-hmm. Tippy, Top Hat, Lone Ranger, and Tiger. And what would happen is that neighborhood cats, wild cats, they would smell the food, I guess, and mm-hmm. come over. And my grandmother would put more food out. And after a while, we had about 21 cats that we were taking care of that were regulars, mm-hmm. the regular guys. So your outside cats that you are now, you're putting out food for them?
Mm-hmm. What I've been able to do, I just recently moved to back up to Exeter Township. And most of the cats up there that we have found are not spayed and neutered. So what I've been able to do is, you know, I've trapped two of them now and got them ear tipped and spayed and neutered. So they roam.
What's ear tipped?
So the ear tipping is, especially if you're dealing with feral colonies, cats that you can't pet. When they spay and neuter them, they tip their ear. So if they're caught in a trap again, you know that they are spayed or neutered.
Now, tip, you mean you cut a little bit?
They do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right at the top of the tip. It's very noticeable if you've caught them in a trap or you see them, you know, roaming around. You know you don't have to worry about them breeding.
And it doesn't bleed too much when you...
No, it's really... It's all done under anesthesia.
Okay, all right.
You know, so they get that done, you know, with vaccines and their spay or neuter all at the same time.
Yeah, guys know about tipping. Unfortunately. Anyway, Brandy, thank you for coming in. Pet Chat had another great guest, Kitty Cottage. Do a little advertisement real quick for your business.
You can reach Kitty Cottage Adoption Center at kittycottagepa@gmail.com. Our website is kittycottage.org. And our phone number is 610-731-0101. Thank you so much, Jacques. This has been a pleasure.
And thank you, Brandy Green of Kitty Cottage. And you've been listening to Pet Chat. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Learn all their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.